The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Thursday, January 19th, 2023, season 18, episode number 110. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Got Brian and Amber with us. Nick will not be in today, but the three of us will hold it down. And our jobs today is to get you guys ready for San Francisco defense versus Cowboys offense. We'll talk about all the matchups that matter. Brian actually has some information. He's been doing a little reconnaissance on the 49ers, talking to some people around the league, some contacts, and he'll give us a little bit of what they said about how you prepare for the San Francisco defense. We'll also get some questions for you guys. You can hit me up on Twitter at Derek Eagleton to send your questions, and we will try to answer as many as we can in that third segment of the show. Let's start first with a little bit of news yesterday. Cowboys sign a kicker to their practice squad, Tristan Visciano. Brian, what do we know about him?
I visited with a team that had him, and it was funny. He's kicked. He hasn't missed. I think he was 5 for 5 when you talk about field goals and extra points. This team told me he's an extremely strong leg, very professional in his approach. But this one team was telling me that he could be a little erratic. Now, the numbers don't tell you that he's erratic.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning that when you're erratic, you're kind of all over the place, good or bad. But the numbers say that he was good. But this team that had him, you know, they moved on from him. And so that's what they were just kind of talking about. But to me, this is one of those things. I don't know if this is a practice squad elevation that, you know, when you're 48, do you get in that situation? It's so funny. I talked to John Gruden about this yesterday, about having a situation. And, you know, I'll read to you what John told me, you know, because I asked, you know, John and I, whether you hate John or not, John and I go way, 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 way back. And so, you know, I just, from a head coach's experience, I just wanted to kind of know, how do you handle this? You know, how do you handle something? And John told me this. I'll read. John doesn't mind. He says, not many options at this point of the season. Normally you would cut a guy for missing 5 straight extra points. He says, but make sure that I would make sure that people leave him alone, probably bring in his personal guru or the guy that helped him along the way. He's a very talented kicker. Now he just has a chance to prove it. And this is, he's talking about Maher. Mm-hmm. He says, keep encouraging him, but obviously, you know, have a few contingencies of 2-point thoughts ready and also be ready in 4-down territory. I never like feeling like you're going to go for 2 or go for 4th down, but you should always have that in mind. So, you know, that's a former NFL head coach right there talking about, you know, how you would maybe handle a situation. I kind of feel like that, you if you feel that strongly that there could be an issue, then you need to make Tristan one of your 48. And if you have a miss, a field goal or an extra point, then you make that adjustment as the game
goes. Let me ask you guys this. I started hearing yesterday, someone was just kind of telling me something that Christy Scales wrote in regards to the balls and some issues that they have.
The K-balls?
The K-balls, yeah.
Yes.
They were losing them.
Yeah.
So I haven't dug much into that because I was like later in the day that I heard about it yesterday, and I meant to look it up to see exactly what the whole deal and how much that attributed to some of the misses that
I don't think it did contribute. I think the point she was making was they were getting to a point where it could have been an issue. So essentially, K-balls, they are kicking balls. They are balls that each team brings to the game, prepared for their kicker to be able to use, because they didn't – the way it all started was back in the day, kickers would kind of doctor the balls a little bit to kind of make it better for them to kick. The problem was what's good for one kicker might not be good for the others. And so you had these balls they were playing with throughout the game that have now been doctored by one kicker or the other, and it created this unfair advantage. So they basically said, okay, teams, each of you bring your own kicking balls. That's what you'll use to kick field goals, whatever, right? The issue became that as he was kicking these, that they were going so far wide,
they couldn't recover
that
the ball.
They didn't hit the net. As you know, when we go down on the field, there's a big net there that keeps the balls from going into the stands. Well, these were so wide, they were going into the stands, and nobody retrieved them from the stands. Yeah. And so at some point, they got to a point where I think her report was that they were down to one kicking ball.
Yeah.
And so it could have become a problem at that point, but it wasn't a problem to that point. Like, they still had kicking balls. They were just down to maybe just one at that point.
They might have had to bum the Buccaneers kicking balls because they weren't using theirs.
Right, which, again, might be a problem because it might be a situation where the way they make their balls work best for their kicker might not work best for him. So it might have made it worse at that point because he didn't have balls that he was more familiar with.
I think something that was really said that was interesting yesterday, and it actually came from Mickey, and I'm not acting surprised. I just, Mickey came up with it. And he observed Maher on the field pregame and that he was going to all the various spots on the field and, like, pushing down with his cleats. And maybe that there was some kind of issue because they had sodded the middle between the hashes. So where are the ball being placed? Are you in a situation where it's resodded on half, and then now you put the ball on a bad area and half of a bad area and half of a good area. Mm-hmm. So do you have an elevation maybe, or do you have something? But Mickey was made a point that he was observing Maher. Mickey, I used to stand on the field with Mickey before the game, so he's down there watching. But Brett Maher maybe went down there, and maybe in his head. I mean, we're all just throwing ideas out there. But maybe as he's trying to pat down surfaces and stuff like that, man, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
I don't know about kicking here. And so, and that's why in the pregame I always ask Christy Scales about that, because I know Christy is going to walk the field. I know she's going to find the bad spots. She's going to tell me which way the wind's blowing. She's going to tell me, so-and-so missed them going this way. I mean, there were some people in pregame. I know Todd Archer was charting the kicks before pregame. And there was some inconsistencies there as well.
Nick mentioned that as well.
Yeah, Nick did too. Exactly. So, there's a lot of things going into this. But the fact that they brought a kicker, and it goes back to the point that Ambar's made many a time on the show, is that, they're more willing now to do things. They're not just going to let something just go on and on. They're not going to let the Chaz Green things happen where they just – oh, it'll be fine. Let's just keep going. They at least are building in now plans that if something doesn't work, be ready to replace. And, like I said, this, the kicker here, he's got a small history, been with a lot of teams, but that might be your answer to move on in a divisional round game if he has to get in there.
So now the decision has been made. Obviously, they have a guy on their practice squad. They have another kicker. There are two decisions, I think, that have to be made at this point. I want to hear your opinions on what you think should happen. One, should he be active? So now you're going to take an active roster spot and use it on a second kicker.
That's the toughest thing right there.
And I want you guys to answer both of these. Two, how long is your leash? If you get one miss, are you at that point like, hey, we're going to just go with the other guy? Or do you say, hey, I'm going to ride with Maher through this game, and this guy is more of just my insurance. If we have another bad game and we still win, then I will continue to use him. What do you think, Amber?
Do we secretly have a Jeff Heath on the team?
I don't know. Somebody who can kick. That's also
someone that can kick.
Also does other things.
He's done it before. And do it. Because that's with as many injuries that have happened, having an extra guy, that's a huge thing, especially at that position for the kicker. It's just a tough one, and I don't know who you would take out. I know you can't elevate two guys from the practice squad game day, but who are you sitting out? Like, not even what guy, but what position are you taking away from in case of an injury. Now I'm looking at the O-line issues with guys. Obviously, they made it through. Jason Peters came out and they did that. But now are you bringing up somebody else, an extra guy on the O-line? Are you bringing somebody else for the secondary with Jaren Kearse, who's supposed to be 100% ready? But things like that that you need to account for, I don't know who – I don't know.
It's really, really tough because you do have those injuries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have the injuries. I mean, with Kearse will tell you he's 100%. Kearse is not 100%, but you know what? He'll play like he's 100%. Mm-hmm. And so now do you worry about can you afford to, you know, you mentioned the offensive line. You know, you mentioned, you know, they're going to be short this week because of Jason Peters.
They brought Collins up last week. That's one where you might look at it and you might say, hey, we already had him active last week. So maybe you sit Peters and that becomes a spot that you could use. I don't know.
It's one of those things where I think the only player on the 48 that doesn't play is Cooper Rush. Everybody else plays. Yeah. So everybody else has a role in the game. So here you are in a playoff game, and you use 47 of your 48 players in the game. So now who you take in, who of the 47, who are you going to take away? You know, who do you determine is going to be that guy? And there's really not any place that you can really, really go light. You know, I just don't feel like it with some of the injuries that you're dealing with. You know, that's the – man, it would be tough to sit there and say, okay, we're going to play with 47 guys, really 46 guys. If the kicker and Cooper Rush both don't play, well, now you're going into a divisional playoff game one player short.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem.
I know this obviously
I don't have a great answer for you, by the way.
You don't have to, you're not the coach, right?
We talk about the field and the wind and just the environment overall, how it changes from you having what you're usually accustomed to here in your own practice field. But does what you watch him do throughout this week at practice changes at all? Like, let's say he's perfect and he makes everything or whatever. That wouldn't change your mind?
Honestly, like that doesn't change anything for me, because the way I look at it is you can simulate as much as you want. Now, let me put it in context. If, let's say, for example, last week he had a great week of practice, and then obviously at the game what happened happened, then this week doesn't matter to me. Now, it can go bad. Like, if he has a week of practice where he's missing everything, then I start really wondering, like, does he have it mentally to be able to do this and turn this around? But if he's been having good practices these last several weeks and he still had the performance like he did, then no matter what he does in practice this week, I would personally be a little worried about what I'm going to see once game day gets here. And that's the reason why I think I'm looking for a way. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking for a way to have this second kicker available. Now, if I get into a situation where I look at it and I'm like, I don't think I can, then I'm spending an inordinate amount of time this week on what am I doing on fourth down? What kind of plays do I love that I can run on fourth down? And quite frankly, I actually think Maher, to work his way out of this, it may not be through kicking extra points. It may be give him a 50-yarder. Because what we know about this guy is once he gets out and knows that deep territory, he's money. And so I'm almost like, let him work out of it with longer kicks than shorter kicks. Because right now the shorter kicks are the ones that are in his head.
Yeah, me personally, I know I said I don't have an answer, but I'll try here. I think I carry the extra kicker. I just can't take a chance in the game. Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm not going to lose a game because you missed a 38-yard field goal. I mean, that if you get out there and it's a field goal, maybe not even an extra point, but it's a field goal. Say it's the first field goal of the game. You drive, you get stalled. It's a 40-yard field goal, and he misses. Now I know where I am. I'm going to use the other kicker, and here we go. And if that guy misses two, then now we got plan C. Which is go for it on fourth down, go for 2-point plays, and hope that hope you can hang in there long enough that the game doesn't get away from you because you're giving away points.
Yeah, it's gonna be a go ahead, Amber.
No, I was looking back at kind of the history of his career for this guy. How do you say his last name?
I think it's Viscano.
Viscano, yes. Viscano?
Tristan.
Yeah. Tristan, yes.
Tristan. Let's call him Tristan. He's kind of switched around, jumped around the league for a little bit. But looking at just his overall career, he's made 11 out of 12 field goals. Mm-hmm. But then on extra point, 15 of 20. And that's where I'm like, okay, that doesn't make me feel that much better. And has he even been in an environment that it's playoffs environment, which kind of, you know, how the nerves go up there and then how everything switches. So what I'm trying to say is this guy's, what he's coming in experience-wise doesn't make me feel that much greater either.
You would hate that your season would come down to a missed kick, being how Brett Maher has been great all year, you know, until this last game. He's been great. And if going into the Tampa game, we would have said, the number one concern I have with the Cowboys is a kicking game. Everybody would have looked at each other like, what?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you bring it up after what happened in the Commanders game. He misses an extra point. It was the only extra point. Now, what if they score a bunch of points against the Commanders and he's missing them then?
Yeah.
Now you're going, oh, okay. All right. So maybe we do have an issue here at kicker. But the fact that it was one missed extra point, and that's all Dallas did for scoring. You know, he never kicked a field goal or anything like that. I mean, his misses on extra points, there were three of them before this game. Mm-hmm. One missed, two blocks. Mm-hmm. Wasn't like it was him. It was, you know, one of them was, but other than that, man, this is tough. This is really, really tough because you need all your players.
And you really want to give him the benefit of doubt.
I mean, you do.
He has made a ton of big kicks for this team this year. And I personally thought he was having a Pro Bowl type season.
Yeah.
Now, you look around the league and his percentages, as good as he did, there were still lots of kickers out there that were ranked higher than him when you just look at the statistics of it. But just looking at when this team needed him to make kicks, and even some of those kicks being extremely long, like those back-to-back 56-yard kicks, like that to me was impressive, extremely impressive. And so I look at this guy and I'm like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And that's what the one reason why I don't pull the trigger on moving on from him. I look at that and say, everybody on this team has had at least 1 week this season where they were just off. Mm-hmm. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that this was the week when he was just off. That doesn't mean that I don't want an insurance policy that this is more than just an off week. Because at this point in the season, you can't afford that, especially at the position of kicker.
And that's why I loved what CeeDee said. And if you guys haven't seen Sounds of the Sidelines,
Alex killed it again.
Yes, as always. Yeah. Make sure to check it out on DallasCowboys.com and on social media. But CeeDee just coming to the bench and just letting him know, like, hey, you're good. Like, don't worry about it. And I don't remember the exact word,
but basically like you bailed us out. Yeah.
Many times, and which is 100% true. So just kind of seeing that support that, you know, okay, a guy like that, you need that. You need that after you have such a day, such a bad day. But it's true. Brett Maher has bail them out so many times this year, so many times that the offense wouldn't be able to get to the end zone and score a touchdown, and now you got him kicking, and even those 50-yarders, making those. So me personally, I'm at the let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, when you said how long is that leash, if it happens, and they do have the other kicker, Tristan, active, I would say two. I wouldn't just sit him out after the first miss. If he misses the second one, then I'm like, okay, that's it. My leash would be two misses. How about you?
That sounds about right. And it also, to me, it depends on what stage, how the game's playing out. If it's a really, really close game and you have an opportunity to be able to, either you're behind and this is an opportunity to catch up, or you're in the lead by a very narrow margin and this was your opportunity to kind of give yourself a little bit of a cushion. If it's that kind of game, close game, then maybe after one miss, if it's the first kick of the game, then I may be willing to say, hey, let me do something a little different here. Let me change this up a little bit. Maybe let me go for it on a fourth down or maybe, you know, whatever. I would be thinking of other options after a first miss if it's the first kick of the game. Now, let's say he gets the first kick and then he misses the second. Now I might be a little bit more like, okay, let me see if I want to hold. But if he misses that first one, I'm really thinking about it in a close game because, as we know, it's a good team. And we're going to talk about it here in this next segment. It's a really good team. You're not going to have a lot of opportunities at the end zone, you wouldn't think. So every point is going to matter for this team, and that's where I'm a little bit
I just was looking at his numbers, and I was trying to remember, there was a game where he made a bunch of 50-yard field goals mm-hmm. in the game. It was, like, incredible. He had, like, 4 50-yard field goals. I think it was – we made the Commanders game because I was looking – he was 4 for 4 in that game, you know, earlier in the year. He was 4 for 4 in field goals against Minnesota, which was a big win. He was 4 for 4 in a huge win against Philadelphia. You know, I mean, there's just so many things to say, you know, positive and confident about this player. Yeah. And for him, and maybe it was just one bad day. Maybe you just, but with kickers, you don't know, because that's the one position that's so hard to evaluate. I mean, other than quarterback, yeah, quarterbacks are hard to evaluate too.
It's all mental.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah. Like we all watched Dan Bailey. We all watched Dan Bailey here, and we saw Dan Bailey, and then we saw, was Dan Bailey, you know, he started missing. I go, was he hurt? Mm-hmm. Is something wrong? You know, we found out, yeah, he had some issues and stuff. But once you have a guy that's just so reliable, then all of a sudden goes south, you really don't have any answers.
Yeah, especially go south in a big way.
And yeah, go south in a big way, and now the games are just so magnified. You know, I mean, one missed extra point could be the difference of you going on or going home. Mm-hmm. And that's, man, I don't know what I'm going to think if it's a game-winning field goal and he's going to line up. And I don't know. I usually you would think, we're going on. We're moving on. And now I'm thinking, I don't want to look.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to look. I'm going to let the crowd tell me where this thing is going.
I'll tell you the one thing I would do if I was Mike McCarthy. The first opportunity I come up on where it's fourth down in field goal range.
Kick it.
Without hesitation, yeah. I'm like, field goal. Because I want him to know.
Yeah.
I want him to know. I want him to know. I believe in you. I'm confident in you. We're not going to change what we're going to do right now because I trust you, and go out there and make the kick. I would keep things as normal as I normally would, and I would send him right out there to kick it. And my hope is that mentally that gives him a little bit more of a boost of confidence. Like, my team still believes in me. I got this. I've been doing this all year. Yeah. I'll just do what I do. He makes that first kick. Here we go. And now we're rolling again, right? And so I just wouldn't hesitate at all. I would immediately send him out there and let's get it done. All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back. We'll jump into San Francisco defense versus the Dallas offense. We'll be right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
The Dallas Cowboys are heading to Santa Clara to take on the San Francisco 49ers in the divisional round of the 2020 2022 NFL playoffs. Come out to the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium for a free divisional watch party on Sunday, January 22nd. Cheer on the boys alongside the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and rowdy, and while enjoying $5 Miller Lights, lawn game, food trucks, and more. Gates open at 4 p.m. Kickoff is at 5:30. For more information, visit DallasCowboys.com/playoffs. Go Cowboys.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. Let's talk about the 49ers defense versus Dallas offense. Brian, I know you said you had an opportunity to speak to some of your contacts around the league, some coaches, I think, around the league who have faced the San Francisco 49ers. What have they told you about best ways to match up with this defense?
I will tell you this. I did. I talked to a coach, and I got another one that I have to talk to after the show today that is going to help me. This is a guy that played the 49ers this year and gave me an idea of how to attack them. And I was like, cool, let's hear it. And what the notes, I'm just going to read from my notes what this is, so I'll try and organize it the best I can for you here. This coach told me it was harder preparing for Todd Bowles, who the Cowboys played last week, as opposed to D'Amico Ryans. And he said what he says, Todd Bowles is always going to come up with something you probably haven't seen. He says D'Amico trusts his guys more. And when he plays games against teams that they feel like they're better than, they'll play you pretty straight up. My guy said, D'Amico will have something ready for you. He'll have some type of blitz package or something that, you know, that they haven't used, or, you know, maybe they've used, but they're going to bring it back out. But this coach said it, Bowles, who you saw last week, is tougher to prepare for. He says it's a lot of the Seattle principles that we've seen when they play with the zone coverages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on third down, you're going to get the man principles out of this. This coach told me, he says, I believe they're going to try and take away Schultz in this game. And I'm like, oh, you know, because you're thinking CD or, you know, somebody else. Like, no. And this coach goes, no. What they're concerned about is the middle of their defense. They're concerned that they're not very good at safety. That's their biggest concern. So what happens is that whoever's the biggest threat to the middle of their defense would be the guy that they try and hone in on. So I was like, all right, that makes a lot of sense. Because when you look at Hufanga and Gibson, their two safeties, it makes sense watching them on tape. We were talking about that a little bit, you know, yesterday. And then on our show on 105.3 The Fan, we were talking about it because the matchups are a problem for them. They don't cover the tight ends. If you go back and watch the Raiders game, Darren Waller had a huge game against these guys because of stuff that was happening in the middle of the field. So that's a big, big concern. He was saying, listen, give the Raiders a lot of credit for the way they were attacking down the field. They got the protection that they needed, and that's going to be really the key. That he goes, what he said is you can't let this be a two-minute game. And by saying that, two-minute game turns into a Nick Bosa game. Because when Nick Bosa is just – all he knows is rushing the passer, that's a two-minute game. He's hand down, here we go, that kind of thing. He says the minute you turn that into a two-minute game, it's a problem for you, not for them, because it plays right in their strength. He also says you need to run the ball at Nick Bosa. You know, it's similar to what we see with what teams do with Micah Parsons. You know, you think, oh, geez, stay away. No, if you run the ball away, what does Micah Parsons do? Chases. What does Nick Bosa do? Chases. So you take it at them, make them have to play the point of attack. It could take some of the steam out of his pass rush or something. He says Fred Warner, the middle linebacker, is very hard to fool. He says you can't. The problem is the way they play with some of their zone coverages, if you just let him read the quarterback and react, he's going to make all the plays. He's really, really good. He's really smart. He has a feel for how to play in those coverage lanes. But the guy also said, though, he tackles well, but he says that's another guy you can run at. You can run at him because he's sometimes he'll jump around blocks and things like that. So you can maybe. My coach here said change the tempo of the game. Okay, this plays into the Cowboys' a hands here because they love to play fast. They'll slow it down and they'll, you know, but if they get into a mode, he says, make sure you just keep going. Keep, if you're having success, change the tempo, keep playing here. Mentioned again too about you have to win the middle of the field, especially on third down. That's the best spot to attack the 49ers is on third down. I think that their two corners can give up some plays. I think Lenore and I think Ward, if you get protection, and the way you're going to probably get some protection is what we talked about, I do feel like the Cowboys can hold up against Bosa one-on-one. But they also, this coach said, if you get in 12 personnel and you make them have to play a little bit wider, if you make those rushers, if you can secure the edges, get the ball out, work the middle of the field, then you could have some success doing that way. So that was, let me see. Oh, he said that the check down to Pollard in these games is going to be huge because they tackle well. But he says the thing about it is if you break tackles on these guys, you have a chance for some big, big plays. And they think that Pollard, the checkdowns to Pollard are going to be really good to check down the backs. And I said, Coach, these guys don't run screens very well. And he says, if you have a screen, a tight end screen, some type of screens, because they're going to want to get up the field. But you have, you know, when not playing man coverage, they're going to drop into zones. You can maybe get the ball to the back and then block as they're coming forward. So those are some of the thoughts of a coach that that played against the San Francisco 49ers this year.
Well, a lot of good stuff there. That's a
lot.
Kind of
like yesterday,
stuff.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's like, where do you really start with all that?
Well,
I think it starts with Nick Bosa myself. Yeah. I know I went on my station yesterday and made a lot of people mad in the San Francisco land because I said I felt like that Smith could hold up with Nick Bosa. I do.
If they were to go in and defend this game with taking out the tight end, yeah, let's say, how much does that, do you feel like it changes the game for Dak? Because like we saw even last week, he relied a lot on Dalton Schultz. And we've seen it through his career, even this year. Yeah. The guy that he can go in and tends to do better with is the tight end, whoever it is at tight end. So if they kind of take him out of the game, how do you think that truly affects him?
My overall question would be, are we seeing that with Dalton because teams say, we're not that Dalton
not
isn't the guy we're going to double
him.
Right? Yeah. We're going to worry about CD Lamb, right? And so if CD is the guy that they think they're going to take out, and this team says, you know, we're going to take out Dalton Schultz,
then open it up.
Okay, like, and especially I was sitting there listening to Brian talk about the corners and vulnerability, yeah, at the corners.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, if you're worried about the middle of the field and you're worried about Dalton Schultz, I'm looking at my two speedy guys or my guys I know that can get downfield, like Gallup, who can go downfield. We know he can do that. T.Y. Hilton, who's a speed guy. I'm looking at sending them down the field on the corners. And if you're worried about the middle field and that safety's going to stay in the middle to try to take out Dalton, I welcome that. I think Dak should have a – that means Dak is going to have some opportunities for some big plays against this offense, I mean, against this defense. And I think that's what you're going to need in order to be able to win. All the teams that have beaten this team, they've had big plays in their offense. Like, yeah, they have gone downfield and exploited that. So if that's the way they play Dallas, I think it plays right into their hands.
That also creates more room for error as far as, like, interceptions and how well some of their guys could possibly get their hands on the ball and,
sure,
create an interception for Dak.
Their front, I think, masks some of the – I think there's two teams here playing this game that their fronts mask the deficiencies they have in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas's pass rush, I think, masks the issues that they have at corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the 49ers are the same team. I think that when you talk about Kinlaw, Armstead, Bosa, Greenlaw, all these guys that can Aminahu, these guys that can attack the quarterback, they cause problems, and it helps their secondary. Because, like I said, this coach was saying, if you could block their front, and the tape shows that, the Raiders blocked their front.
Mm-hmm.
Ball was going down the field. It was almost like they didn't respect that Stidham, the quarterback at the Raiders. It's like they loaded the box thinking, it's Jacob's run. Mm-hmm. run. And that was.
And they shut him down pretty much. I think, yeah, he had 69 yards,
yeah,
or something.
But the way they threw the ball was incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, but they were able to block so well up front that even when Stidham had to move around a little bit, that he was able to find guys to pick off. I mean, Adams was incredible that game. And not to say that, you know, CD's been playing great.
Yep.
And you would hope that he would have the type of game that Adams had against him, you know, throwing the ball down the field. But it's going to come down to, can you block this front? Yep. That's where this – and it always is. They're going to have to block your front, and you're going to have to block their front.
And I'll tell you the other thing that I think will be critical to that is how much is Dak willing to run the ball. I love that you say on third down they tend to go man.
Yeah.
That means on third down there creates opportunities where the defensive backs, their back is to the quarterback. He's going to have some opportunities. And especially for an aggressive rushing defense that's coming all forward, if Dak finds that seam and gets out of it and runs, he's going to have some daylight moments, right?
Yep.
And that's going to force their pass rush to slow down a little bit, which, again, negates it's what teams have done to the Cowboys in some instances where they've played these running types of quarterbacks. So I look at this and I'm thinking, I actually like all the stuff you're saying, because to me it kind of factors into what you want Dallas to be able to do offensively.
Right. Yeah, if they're able to, that's the thing. And that's why both these teams are where they are, and they're the final, you know, they're the final teams, because they play well on defense and they're capable. I think the thing for me for Dallas's offense is, can they just maintain the consistency? I think Dallas could beat anybody in the NFL if they don't turn over the ball. I really do. It's those turnovers that create doubt. And now are we willing to throw it? You saw with Dak when he was the way he was just bam bam bam. And there was separation. There were balls where they needed to be. You know, they were converting. They were, you know, it was. It's this offense is really fun to watch when they're playing that way. But that, like I say, can you get the consistency? I think that's a word that you used the other day to talk about. Can you get that consistency from week to week? And you know, we'll see this week for sure.
Let's take our final break. We'll come back. We got a few more questions on this matchup. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Yes, as the boys are striving for greatness, do the same with Dallas Cowboys jerseys. Get your hands on premium gear at the nearest Dallas Cowboys Pro Shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com. A Fanatics experience, and level up your game day look for the NFC Conference Championship.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star.
You sound like a real radio guy.
He is a real radio guy.
There's a little transition, but now that he's been working with the fan, his voice, like these reads.
He's a radio guy now.
You know what they tell you? They always tell you to they'll get mad at if you don't show enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is how we country music. You know, I mean, you have to. You can't read it like, this is how we country music party of the, you know, you can't do that.
How my boy Nick does it every day.
Nick does wants. Nick loves everybody that's on the sponsor sheet. He just doesn't love the reading
part
of it. Yeah, he loves everybody on the sheet.
He just doesn't love the read.
He doesn't love the read.
Yeah. I think he'd probably write them a little differently if it was up to him. But
he would.
All right, let's jump back in. Let's talk about the offensive line. You mentioned the Smiths at the two tackles. It's my personal belief that I think they're actually better off with Tyler Smith at left tackle than they would have been with Jason Peters. Let's assume Jason Peters can't play this weekend.
Hip flexor.
What are your thoughts? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get Jason Peters this weekend. I think the hip flexor problem. As we speak on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could say that's going to be a problem.
And are they better off against this matchup?
I think so. To me, it's never easy because Bosa is going to work both sides. This is never easy. You know, we've seen Tyron Smith break down. I mean, last year, you know, a game against the 49ers. I think Bosa got hurt in this game, too, last year as well. You know, got nicked up a little bit. But he's such a dynamic player. You know, when you talk about a rusher and how he's able to dip and get around and stuff, and now you're playing with crowd noise and all that stuff like that you're having to deal with. But, yeah, I think that having Tyler Smith out at left, you know, he's navigated this season very nicely. I mean, if you want to talk about guys that deserve a game ball from last week, Tyler Smith deserves a game ball just for the fact that he had to deal with Vita Vea and that whole thing, you know, that, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, by the way, now right before the half, you're going to shift out to left tackle. Okay, the Tampa Bay didn't have the dynamic pass rushers, but still, you're dealing with a game of having to worry about blocking this guy who's a perennial all-pro type of a nose man, power guy, to like, okay, now I got to shift all the way to the outside and now deal with some speed. And so, yeah, it's impressive what he can do. Dallas, like I say, they can make plays if the Smiths, law firm of Smith & Smith, can block these edges and secure these edges. They can make some plays on the secondary. You happy? You happy about that?
Because there were times, even this past game, and they did a really nice job with the offensive line, especially with Peters coming out and just kind of regrouping and making those changes. But there were times where they did get to Dak, and there were times where Dak did have to run, and luckily he had a great game and he was able to run really, really good. But as you keep mentioning Bosa, and going into this game, that is one area that still does scare me. What happens?
Can we
get the Dak that had that focus and mentality as he did last week? Like, before the break, you mentioned consistency. Mm. And that's one of the things. It's like, yes, it depends how the previous game goes. You know how, okay, they played really good, and then they got that very important win in a playoff game. How are they right now mentally? Like, is it like, are they kind of feeling themselves a little bit, or they're still like super humble right now? Is that gonna, Dak gonna, and he's really tough, and we know he has a lot of mental toughness, but can he be that guy that can just, if they get to him and create pressure and sack him, can he play after play, snap after snap, kind of maintain his cool and focus? Or is this a game where they can disrupt, you know, and create that kind of hesitation, uneasiness with Dak?
Well, you know, here's my thing. What I go back to is, I think the point in the season when I saw the offensive line play its best was when you had Tyler Smith at left tackle, Connor McGovern at left guard, Biotis at center, Zach Martin at right guard, and then you had Terrence Steele at right tackle. That was the best lineup that they had out there. The way I look at that is, okay, take me back to that as much as I can, and if I'm subbing out Terrence Steele for Tyron Smith, I feel as good about that as any combination this Cowboys team can run out there. I don't think at this point, from what I've seen, my opinion, I don't think Jason Peters is somebody you can rely on for a full game.
No, not at all.
So,
you've used up all his snaps.
And by the way, he filled in a role that you needed for him to fill in. As you know, I told my wife this. Like, that injury reminds me of kind of where I am in life right now.
Running?
Where I'm, not just running, but like literally I'm around the house. I see a box and I'm like, I probably need to move that box. And I'm like, no, I probably ought to use my back, but I'm like, no, I'll power through it. And I just lift it. And then as soon as I lift it, I'm like, yeah, that was a bad idea. And now my back's going to hurt for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's like he tried to do the reach block.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, ooh, yeah, I'm 40 years old. Yeah. And so that's the nature of it.
Yeah.
He filled a role for you. He played that role. You got as much out of him as you could.
Yeah.
Now go back to the young guy and let him play.
You got so much out of him. Even off the field, like not in, forget the on-field stuff when he came in and played some snaps for you. The off-field and how much he's been able to teach these guys, and you see it, like you watch that, you watch the sidelines, and you see the relationship, and you see how much he's there like a coach, just as another coach. So I really appreciate like his presence, the type of stuff that he was able to bring this year, even off the field for these younger guys.
Yeah, it's they protected themselves and they got what they needed out of him. And and the hip flexor for an older guy is not an easy thing to come back from. You know, I mean, that's something that he's gonna, the lower body power and getting away from the line and stuff like that. So, I just keep going back. I the confidence I have in this offense, and I mean this with all sincerity, I think they played a better defense against Philadelphia. I think they played a better – and they had really nice success moving the football against Philadelphia. When you're talking about pass rushers, talking about sec. Overall, I think Philadelphia's defense is better. And you move the ball against them very well. That is my hope going into this game, that you figure out that, okay, how do we move the ball then against a really good secondary and a pass rush, you know? I think San Francisco's got a really good tackling team. Really good tackling team. Their front's good. The linebacker's good. The secondary is their issue. And if you find a way to somehow, some way block this front, you know, much like you did Philadelphia, but you made plays against Philadelphia. You know, you also created turnovers too. And Brett Maher made all those field goals as well. Yeah.
There's a lot of other things that have to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think this team is unbeatable. I think that's the one thing I've learned as I started diving into San Francisco.
I agree.
They got a lot of weapons, and there's a lot of things on paper you look at and you're like, man, I don't know how you beat this team. But when you really start diving into it, there are reasons to believe this is not an unbeatable team. And I think Dallas is going to have to play their very best game.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do what they did last week against a better opponent in order to win. But it's not like this is something that can't be done.
No, they've got and it's, I think a lot of it is going to hinge on Dallas's defense though too. How you play McCaffrey, you know, I mean, he's outstanding as a player. How you deal with these wide receivers? How do you deal with all the things that they're going to show you? They're going to make you. They're going to stretch the field on you, and they're going to make you probably play a little bit unconventionally. And are you willing to fall into that trap, or are you going to say no? This is what we do. We're going to match it this way.
Yep.
So that's why it's a playoff game.
I actually think this might be a game where defensively we might see a lot of those three safeties.
Yeah.
Because this is not a team that threatens you deep down the field a lot. This is a game that has a lot of short and intermediate throws. And especially if you're going to say, hey, we're going to stick with what we do and we're going to stay in where we are. They may opt to say, we'll have three safeties on the field, so we think we have the bulk to stop your run.
Right.
We also think we got the athletes to be able to run with you across the field, to be able to get into zones where you're trying to throw the ball, be able to quickly react, rally to the ball, make tackles. I could see a game like that where they just say, we're going to stick with what we do. We're not going to let you move us out of what we do because the personnel that we have can morph into whatever you try to do without us having to move people around too much.
Be a great game.
It will. Oh, yeah. It'll be a fun chess match.
I wanted to ask real quick, going back to the O-line, Terrence Smith, he popped up on the injury report, on the practice report, and he was a full participant, but it was the knee that popped up. So in a scenario where something happens in the game and he has to come out, what's your combination? What's your line looking like?
Ball, right? Ball would play tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't unless you're not gonna move. You're gonna keep everybody the same. You're not gonna move Zach Martin.
But Colin, would you maybe think Collins? Because I'm kind of, I don't know if Collins may be a better answer than Ball. I just have no faith in Ball right now.
You know, nobody really does, but you're to that point where now you're trying to mask, like we were talking about, you're trying to mask problems. And so you put him on the ball on the outside, you put tight end over there, you have wing over there, you chip over there. I mean, they're probably going to have to do that anyway. Yeah. You know, you're probably going to have to do that to help a little bit with Bosa being over there.
Right.
But if it's Ball over there, you're going to make – it's almost going to look like a punt return where you're like – you're doubling the – you know, you got both guys like on Bosa like right there. Yeah. That's kind of what that's going to turn into if Ball has to play right tackle.
To be honest with you, no matter who they put in there, if that were to happen – they immediately become a target for San Francisco's defense. I'm sure they're like, Bosa, you're not moving around anymore. We know where you're going to be, and we're coming, regularly. And so that's just going to be one of those situations where I hope, you really don't have a great answer for
it. I hope Dallas's ability to can run the football, though. I'd like to see them try and wear this 49er defense down if they can, because they want to rush the passer. They want to get upfield. They're very physical. But, yeah, if you get in a situation where one of your offensive linemen are down, and we'll see what Farniak is, too.
Yeah.
You know, Farniak might now take over that role of the fullback guy that, you know, now that you have to play Connor McGovern back there at, you know.
And you're saying maybe even go with a power running game. Where
power running
just
game.
Run right at him and see what happens.
Just run right at him and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, we appreciate you guys, Jonas. We'll be back tomorrow. I appreciate all the questions that came in. We're going to get to a lot of these tomorrow. We're going to spend quite a bit of the show tomorrow answering questions we've received from you guys over the last couple of days. Till then, for Brian Broaddus and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!